Genesis chapter 45. This morning we began reading with verse 25, so we're probably doing this backwards, but tonight we just want to read verses 1 through 24. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father. Say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that ye have seen, and you shall haste and bring down my father hither." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, "Joseph's brethren are come." And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beast, go, get you into the land of Canaan. Take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, This do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt, for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, "See that you fall not out by the way." Again, what we read here involves Joseph and his brothers. Again, it has its root back in Genesis chapter 37. Where we have record of Joseph's brothers so hating him and so envious of him that their first thought was to kill him. We see that in Genesis 37:20. Reuben speaks up and says there's no profit in that to us to kill him. Let's just cast him into a pit. So they stripped Joseph, we know, of his coat, dipped his coat in blood as they sat there eating and drinking. And we read in verse 26 that Judah spoke up and said, "Brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" And notice, if you go to Genesis 37, verse 27, he says, let us, again in verse 26, Judah suggests that they don't kill him because he's our brother. Verse 27, come let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Now, that's some twisted thinking. We can't kill him because he's our brother, but let's sell him. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother. And our flesh and his brethren were content. Now, again, that's some pretty twisted reasoning, and they were all content with it. In verse 28, they sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. So Joseph is hated. He's conspired against by his own brothers. Chapter 39, verse 1, he's brought down to Egypt, sold to a man by the name of Potiphar. So he's now separated from his father. He's a slave in a strange land. In Potiphar's house, Joseph would be falsely accused of taking liberties with Potiphar's wife, and he's imprisoned. So Joseph has been hated, conspired against, mistreated, betrayed by his own brothers. As a result of all of that, he's now separated from his father, separated from the life that he was accustomed to. He's a slave in a strange land, and now he's in shackles in a cold, dark dungeon, not because of any wrongdoing, but because of a false accusation from an evil woman. Through God's providence, we know that Joseph would be miraculously delivered from the prison, and eventually he would be exalted in Egypt. So God turned the betrayal and the tragedy and the torment and the trouble into triumph. Only God can do that. In Genesis 41 and 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. So Joseph has authority over all the storehouses, and Joseph knows because God has told him, he's revealed to him. He did so when he was in prison. Joseph knew that there would be 7 years of plenty. He knew that following that, there would be 7 years of famine. And Joseph was to fill the storehouses during the 7 years of plenty so that there would be enough for the 7 years of famine. And we read of that in Genesis 41, verses 48 and 49. And then we read in Genesis 41 and 55 that when the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, he would say unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. Whatever he tells you to do, that's what you do. So Joseph had what everyone so desperately needed. Everything was dispensed through Joseph. Again, he is a type of Christ. Famine came. And we read in Genesis 41 and verse 57, and all the countries came unto Egypt to Joseph, to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Jacob and his 11 sons and their families begin to feel the effects of the famine down in Canaan. And in chapter 42, Jacob sends his sons to Egypt to buy corn. They arrive in Egypt. They appear before Joseph without knowing who he was. Joseph provides them with grain. They go back, and eventually, of course, that in Genesis chapter 43, that supply of grain is nearly gone. So Jacob sends his sons back into Egypt, and they once again appear before Joseph. And what we just read records that event. We want to take the main thought from verse 24. Again, Joseph has been instructing his brothers. And he tells them in verse 24, the last piece of instruction that he gives them. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. See that ye fall not out by the way. And that's our subject, fall not out by the way. First of all, Joseph's brothers have had a wonderful experience. After 22 years, after they so cruelly sold Joseph into slavery, Joseph would make himself known to them. So the providence of God brings Joseph and his brothers to the same place. And as you read these verses that we've read tonight, it's a very beautiful scene. Something truly wonderful. It's amazing. The character of Joseph, what Joseph did, is truly extraordinary. Again, he's a type of Jesus Christ. So you have Joseph's brothers. They hated their brother 22 years ago. They hated him enough to think about killing him. But instead, for their own profit, they sold him into slavery. And now, unbeknownst to them, they're standing right before him 22 years later. Joseph has the power. He has the authority to do whatever he wants to them. He could do anything to them. He could imprison them all. He could have them all killed. He had that power. He had that authority. Their lives are in his hands. And again, these are the ones who betrayed him. So there's Joseph with his brothers that had been so cruel to him. And in verse 1, Joseph sends everyone out of the room. This would be a very personal and private event. And then we see the event that took place that day. It says, Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. That was the event of that day. Joseph revealed who he was to his brothers. Anytime Jesus reveals himself to us, that's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Now notice verse 2, you have the mood of the event. Genesis 45 in verse 2, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. That is the weeping. And then in verse 3, Joseph said unto his brethren, out of a heart filled with love, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. Great power in those words. I am Joseph. And though they were spoken, no doubt, with deep affection, Those three words smote the hearts of those brothers. He asked them a question after he said, I am Joseph. He says, doth my father yet live? Doth my father yet live? And then we read, and his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled. That is, they were greatly disturbed, were greatly agitated, greatly afflicted. Why? At his presence. His presence in those words, I am Joseph, has smitten their hearts. And while they are in that state, they are troubled. Notice verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near unto me. Come near unto me. Joseph could have said a lot of things. Had the authority to just send them back home empty-handed. Had the authority to kill them. Had the authority to cast them. He could have done anything. But he said, come near to me. I pray you. And we see the result of those words. Again, you have a beautiful picture here of salvation. And they came near. And they came near. What would have happened had Joseph, again, when he said, I am Joseph, is my father yet alive? Their hearts were so troubled, they couldn't answer him. What would have happened if that's where the story ended? But it didn't end there, because Joseph said, come. And they came. It says they came near. And then again he said, this time they're closer. I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now they are brought face to face with their sin. I am Joseph, whom ye sold into Egypt. I would imagine, at least I would hope, that the brothers of Joseph had lived in guilt for 22 years. Now their sin is brought to light. And imagine the guilt that flooded their soul at this time when he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold. Just imagine the guilt and the sorrow that they felt. We don't even have to imagine it. It's what happened to us at salvation. Joseph said to them in verse 5, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. He's forgiven them. What a wonderful experience that his brothers are experiencing here. 22 years of guilt have come to the surface, and what they experienced that day was the love of Joseph. What they experienced that day was the grace of Joseph. The mercy and the goodness of Joseph. What they experienced that day was the forgiveness of Joseph. They experienced reconciliation with Joseph. They had a fresh sight of Joseph. They haven't seen him in 22 years. And now they see him. He's in a position of exaltation. So they have a fresh sight of Joseph. What they experienced that day was great and marvelous. Something that brought them great joy. Oh, at first, when he said, I am Joseph, is my father yet alive? They were troubled. But by the time it was all over, there was great joy. They no doubt felt a great burden, a great weight had fallen off of them. There was release. There was relief. there was peace. And it all came about by Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. Beautiful picture of salvation. It's also a picture of what we experience as children of God many times. Joseph then would proceed to instruct them concerning what he wanted them to do, concerning his intent toward them, toward his father. And then in verse 15 it says, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. What an example of forgiveness. What a picture of Jesus Christ. Joseph displaying his affection for them. And there they are receiving affection from Joseph. And no doubt displaying affection back to him. Notice verse 15 also. And after this, and after that, his brethren talked with him. Imagine the conversation. I mean, it only took us a few minutes to read it. This went on for a while. And they talked with him. They might have talked for days, I don't know. But they talked with him. So they've been reconciled to Joseph. And now there's fellowship with him. But imagine what they said between themselves, that conversation. What a wonderful conversation it must have been. And imagine the love and the unity that grew in that room that day between Joseph and his brothers. And then verse 21, we see Joseph gave them wagons, gave them provision for the way. The brothers of Joseph are on a spiritual high. What an experience they have had. They feel so refreshed. They feel so blessed. I mean, they've got to know he had every right to kill us. He had every right to imprison us. Oh, we're blessed. They had to know that they were blessed that day. They have everything that they need for the journey. Joseph says, I want you to make this journey and then come back. He gives them everything they need for the journey. God has done the same thing for you and I. He gives us everything we need for the journey. And oh, they're so excited, so happy, so filled with peace. But then there is a dreadful possibility. And that's verse 24. See that ye fall not out by the way. So before Joseph sends them on their journey, he says unto them, again, they're overflowing with joy. They're overflowing with a sense of release, a sense of peace. And he says, see that you fall not out by the way. He's giving them a warning. He's warning them of a possibility. You see, Joseph, better than his own brothers, knew their fickleness. And he knew the tendencies of his brothers. He knew that they had sins. He knew that they had many weaknesses and failures and faults. And he knew that on the way back home, a lot of things can happen to undo everything that just happened. So he says, see that you fall not out by the way. Having received instruction from Joseph, no doubt it was the intent of the brothers to carry this out, to carry out all of his instructions. No doubt that was their intent. They were fully dedicated to do that. But there comes this warning. See that you fall not out by the way. I believe that was a collective warning to the whole group. It was an individual warning. It was a warning that each one was to take personally. See that you fall not out by the way. Joseph knew that the way was long. Joseph knew that along the way, there would probably be difficulties. There would probably be some temptations. Some circumstances might arise. And he knew that it would just take one incident. And just one of his brothers to get out of sorts. To get in the flesh. And everything would fall apart. They would lose the experience they just had. See that you fall not out by the way. That was a very great and present danger to them, both collectively and individually. And the danger is just as great today. Just as present today. The danger was that they might lose the wonderful blessing of what they just experienced. That they might revert backwards. Perhaps we've all experienced it. You get on a spiritual high. Something happens on the way home and it's gone by the time you get home. You've fallen out by the way. Something happens during the day and it's gone. You've fallen out by the way. Again, it can be anything. Somebody can say something. Somebody cannot say something. You can begin to think about some things. And before you know it, the blessing is gone. And that's the warning that Joseph gives to him, to his brothers. I believe the warning is twofold. It is a warning not to fall out among themselves. Not to fall out among themselves. Again, when his brothers are together there with Joseph, and Joseph makes himself known, and he kisses them, and they're talking. No doubt love and unity and appreciation for one another increase that day. There's no doubt. See that you fall not out by the way. No doubt they grew closer together that day. No doubt they had greater love and appreciation for each other. I imagine they've never been closer than they were right then. Never been closer than them. Never enjoyed each other's company more than they did right then. It was a blessed time. It was a wonderful time. But then we have this warning. The reason the warning is there is because it's possible. See that you fall not out by the way. There they are in harmony. They're all on the same page. We're going to carry out the instructions of Joseph. But Joseph knew that as they traveled together, There would be trying circumstances along the way. And it was not inconceivable in Joseph's mind that strife could break out between his brothers on the way home. So there's this warning. See that you fall not out by the way. Fall not out with one another. Colossians 3, verse 14, Paul exhorted the church of Colossae, and above all things, put on charity, which is the bond, as it's like cement of perfectness or completeness. Love is the path in which we are to walk with one another. But circumstances can arise, thoughts can arise, imaginations can arise, assumptions can be made, I mean, on and on we can go. Things can happen, and that love that was so increased in strength, and that unity which was so strong, and those relationships that were strengthened that day, can all fall apart. So take heed. See that you fall not out by the way. There are times when it is absolutely necessary to fall out with brethren. No doubt about it. There's times it's necessary to do so. But if you look at most of the time when there's a falling out, it's anything but necessary. It's anything but necessary. And all what is undone. And that's why Joseph says, see that you fall not out. Due to man's sins, due to man's weaknesses, due to his failures and faults, due to our sins, due to our weaknesses and failures and faults, there is a dangerous possibility that our closeness with others be shattered. Well, they said this about me. And a whole relationship is shattered. Blessings are lost. So Joseph gives this warning. The way would be inclusive of all the happenings of life. See that you fall not out by the way. A lot of things can happen. A lot of things can happen that would threaten relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ. And Joseph gives good advice here. What he's saying is, don't fall out. Don't lose this experience that you've just had with me. And then, of course, there's another application, and that would be our spiritual experience with the Lord. And that would be the most important. Joseph's brothers, again, have experienced a wonderful time. They've experienced a time of joy, and release, and relief, and peace. They've been reconciled. They've been restored to their brother. But there's this warning. See that you fall not out by the way. Oh, they love Joseph so much now. But all it would take is one of those brothers to say, you know what? I'm not so sure that Joseph was sincere. And they begin to talk. And before long, they've convinced themselves, Joseph really isn't our friend. And they've lost the whole experience of what had just happened that day. That happens a lot. It really does. We must make sure that along the way, we don't lose the blessings, the wonderful experiences of God. Throughout the Old Testament, when you fall out, this is known as backsliding. Backsliding. We read in Hosea 11 in verse 7, and what we read there is still true today of God's people. God said, "My people, not my enemies, my people, are bent to backsliding from me." That means that we have the capability of such, but it means more than that. It's worse than that. We're predisposed to such. We're bent to it. Sheep are self-destructive. So are God's people. We all have self-destructive habits. And that's what Joseph is warning against. See that you fall not out by the way. So it is possible. But also we are predisposed to such. That's a very fearful thing. It'd be fearful enough to know that there is such a thing as spiritual regression. But it's even more fearful to learn that I'm predisposed to such. I'm bent to such. That's a very distressing matter. It's very serious. It's something we need to always be aware of. It's a very grave matter. Therefore, see that you fall not out by the way. We must take personal responsibility in this matter. If I regress spiritually, if I backslide, it's no one's fault but my own. No one else's fault. We have to take personal responsibility. A spiritual reduction, a spiritual drop-off, a spiritual downswing, a spiritual relapse, a spiritual reverting, declining, that's personal matter. It's something I do, something you do. So there is such a thing as a moving away, a drawing back from God. That's what Joseph was warning of. And you know what? It can happen at any time. At any time. It can happen. There isn't anywhere you can go that possibility does not exist. That you could fall out. That you could regress spiritually. We need to be aware of that. It can happen in a variety of forms. Not all backslidings are the same. It can happen in any area of our spiritual life. Here's what happens many times. We identify what we think are our weaknesses and our strengths. And we think that the devil is always going to attack our weakness. That's not the case. Many times the devil attacks our strengths. That's what he attacks. So it can happen in any area of our spiritual life. There's no area of our spiritual life that is exempt from falling away. Not one. If you and I think for one moment, you know, this area here, I may not have it all together here, but right here, it's solid. You're headed for a fall. Devil's going to attack. It can happen in various degrees. But it's a real matter. It's a very real matter. And when it happens, it's always evil. It's always corrupt. It's always twisted. So we can, and it is possible, that we fall out by the way. So he gives us this warning. Joseph gives his brothers this warning, and we need to take heed. See that you fall not out by the way. How many times we have had glorious times and experiences with the Lord, just as Joseph's brothers did, only to fall out by the way. It can be kids, it can be a spouse. There's no limit. What the devil will use to cause us to fall out by the way. How many times God stirs and moves our hearts, refreshes us, revives us, fills us with joy and a sense of assurance and peace, only to fall out by the way. Only to fall out by the way. Oh, how many times I've heard people say, oh, I used to be so close to God, but I fell out. And they'll usually have what they think is a good reason. But it happens all the time. People are on a spiritual high. Something happens. And there's a spiritual regression. We need to take it very seriously. See that you fall not out by the way. We have no idea what will make up the way. We have no idea. God sends us on the way. You and I have no idea what that way will consist of. We have no idea of what we might have to face along the way. We have no idea how long the way is. It may seem like it's only a short distance that children of Israel wandered for 40 years. Short distance. We don't know how long the way might be, but this is always to be our concern. Whatever it is we face, however long the way may be, God help me not to fall out by the way. Help me not to fall out with brothers and sisters in Christ for no reason, for no good reason. People come up with the stupidest things, and they think that's a good reason. Friendships are rare. And if you're going to fall out with a friend, I would certainly think it ought to be a pretty good reason. A friendship is at stake. I'm not talking about compromising scriptures. But some people just need to get over themselves. It's not worth it. You ever notice there are some people who fall out with everybody around them? I mean, you just mark it down. They got a new friend. Yeah, how long is it going to last? Not long. Because they find a way to fall out with everyone. It's sad. We need to take heed. We need to take heed. More importantly, we need to take heed that we do not fall out with the Lord. And if we do, and we will, when we do, I should say, We need to recognize it immediately. Immediately. And confess it and get it right. Because if we don't, before long it'll be two things and three things and it just keeps growing. We need to be close enough to God. You and I can get as close to God as we possibly can and we can still fall. But I believe we will recognize it. Okay, I just sinned. I shouldn't have done that. And we confess it and get it right. That's how we have to live. I believe that's what 1 John 1, 8, and 9 teaches us. We have to live that way. But God's given us so many. Whether it be public worship, whether it be just our own private time, whatever. God has given us so many wonderful experiences with Him. And I've done it many times, and I don't want to. You have that wonderful experience, and then 10 minutes later, it's gone. That's not the way it should be. We've fallen out along the way. God help us to take heed to these words, and thank God that we have had that experience to even a higher level than Joseph's brethren, because we've had that experience not with Joseph, but with Jesus. He revealed Himself to us, brought our sins before us, and He said, come. And He forgave us. That's wonderful. And now we're to go on the way and enjoy that experience that we've had with Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.